What is the chief end of man? This well-known question is the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. With this question, we are asked to examine what our primary purpose is as created by God. The answer given, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, is a simple to learn and yet contains an unmeasurable depth. This question and answer is the first of 107 questions and answers found in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It was first written in 1647 by the Westminster Assembly in London, England. It has since been a treasure of Bible-centered instruction, taught and learned in churches and families throughout the world. While it was originally written for children, it contains rich instruction for everyone, for people of every age and intellect. We hope you will learn much from these lectures on the Westminster Shorter Catechism and that they will be a rich blessing for you.
We now come to how God uses the sacraments as means of grace for saving His people. You may not be familiar with the word sacrament just yet. That's okay. We'll work through what is meant by this term, both in this lesson and the following lessons. Right now, simply notice that we're still considering the means of grace, those ordinances that Christ instituted to use in order to apply His salvation to us. So in other words, the sacraments are means that Christ uses to apply His salvation to us, just as the Word is used to apply His salvation to us. Now, just as we don't say every time we hear God's Word or anyone who reads the Bible, they're most necessarily saved, neither do we say wherever the sacraments are used, whoever uses them, they're certainly saved. Remember, just as the Word is made effective by the Spirit's work, so the sacraments are only made effective by the Spirit's work. We have three questions as it introduces to us the sacraments. Firstly, question 91, how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in Him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of His Spirit in them that by faith receive them. Well, it may be interesting to us that the Catechism first deals with how the sacraments are made blessings instead of first defining what a sacrament is. However, one reason for this may be that there both was and still is much confusion over how God uses the sacraments. Notice the word virtue. This is a word meaning strength or power. So the blessing does not merely come to us by a strength within the sacrament. It comes from God using the sacrament and blessing us to enjoy the saving benefits in Christ. The answer reminds us that the only way the sacraments are used for blessing us is as the blessing of Christ and the working of the Spirit is so applied to us. So we start with this question, not only because the Catechism does, but because it's useful to make the point that the sacraments are blessings to us for salvation only by the blessing of Christ and the working of the Spirit in those who receive these sacraments by faith. In other words, this answer reminds us that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, that anyone receives any blessing by them. We'll look more in a moment. But now question 92, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. By sensible signs is meant something that appeals to our senses. Sight, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, these are our senses. And so something that's sensible appeals to and is observed by and discerned by our senses. But notice, they are sensible signs. It points to something else. A sign doesn't point to itself. It's pointing to something else. And the answer tells us that the sacraments point to Christ and the benefits or the blessings of the new covenant. Well, question 93, which are the sacraments of the New Testament? Sacraments of the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Well, this helpfully tells us how many sacraments there are under the New Testament, how many sacred signs appointed by Christ to represent himself and his benefits. There are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper, both of which we'll look more fully in the coming lessons. For our lesson now, we'll look at two main points. First, the meaning of the sacraments, and secondly, the grace brought by the sacraments. So first then, the meaning of the sacraments. The word sacrament itself is a word that was used in the Latin Bible to translate the word mystery. So Paul speaks of the mysteries, the revelations that God has given. But it was also used in other contexts to speak of a sacred oath. And so a sacred oath was a holy thing. And it was a pledge, a testimony of something that was solemnly taken up. And so it signified importance. And when one took a sacred pledge, they were giving a sign, as it were, that what they were saying would be what would be done. This is important for understanding why we use the term sacrament. The sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are things that God has instituted, which, as we'll see, are pledges to us of what he promises to do. Now, notice, a sacrament is an ordinance directly instituted by Christ. This is merely by observing the Bible. We find baptism and the Lord's Supper both directly instituted by Christ. And so, for instance, in Matthew chapter 28, Christ testifies that all power in heaven and earth is given to him. And as he's commissioning the apostles, he says that they are to go and do what? Well, they're to teach all the nations to observe whatsoever things that he commanded them. But he also says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So it's no surprise to us when we read through the book of Acts that as those who are outside of God's covenant are brought into God's covenant, this sign of baptism in the name of the triune God is applied to them because Christ directly instituted it. Notice, it's an ordinance of Christ. It's not just a church ordinance. It's Christ's ordinance. He stands as king, and he has appointed it to be done. So we can't invent sacraments today. We have to observe the ones Christ gave to the church. Remember the Lord's Supper. On the last night of Christ's earthly ministry before his death, he partook of the Passover, and then he instituted the Lord's Supper. And we see him doing it. It's not the apostles doing it. He's instituting it. And so a sacrament is an ordinance that's directly instituted by Christ. And second, a sacrament is an ordinance that uses sensible signs. And so in the catechism's helping us with this, it's pointing out that both baptism and the Lord's Supper are not just words, but rather they are things, material things, that Christ has set apart to point to something else. And so you think for a moment with reference to both baptism and the Lord's Supper. Again, we'll look more fully at this in the coming lessons. But both of them, they use signs, sensible signs. So baptism uses water. Water is something you can touch, you can feel, you can hear it when it's poured or when it's moving around. You can see it and so on. So our senses observe it. They're sensible signs. The Lord's Supper, you have bread and wine. Bread you can touch, you can eat, you can feel. And so with wine, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can see it, and so on. They're signs that appeal to our senses, not just one, but multiple. And so we'll look at this in greater depth, but then think baptism is using water to wash. So there's a sign being given to us. Washing is cleansing. Just when you and I get dirty, what do we need to do? We need to be washed. And baptism is a sign of cleansing. Well, the Lord's Supper is bread and wine, but it's bread that's broken and it's shared and we eat it. And the cup is passed around and we drink it, at least those who are at the table of the Lord's Supper. And so there's action with the elements. There's bread, there's wine, there's water. But then there are actions that are being done. And what are these actions doing? They're pointing to something. And so it's a sensible sign. Then third, which Christ instituted to direct us to Christ and his saving work. And so the Catechism speaks of Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. Now, the word represented is probably familiar to you, but you can think for a moment that to represent something is to picture something to us. It is to present it to us in another way. And so Christ is representing to us himself. You can see this clearly, for instance, in the Lord's Supper. Christ takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And so it's a sign that we can see and we can hear the words and even hear the breaking of the bread. And then we can touch the bread and taste the bread. And it's a sign, but it's pointing us to what he did for us as sinners. And likewise, the cup of wine is taken. And he says, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." And so it's pointing us to Christ. And particularly, it's pointing us to his work of saving sinners on the cross. Baptism is not just water. It's water applied, washing us, as it were, as a sign in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so it's saying that whereas we stand unclean, we need to be cleansed in order to enjoy the fellowship of the triune God. This raises many questions, I am quite sure, but we'll get to open those meanings more fully in the coming lessons. All of these things are directing us to Christ and his saving work. And so it's representing, it's repicturing these things for us. But they're also sealing. Now, this is a word that perhaps you use in a different way. Sometimes there are certain bags that we seal. So there's a way of bringing the opening closed. And that way, whatever's in the bag is now sealed and secured in it. Well, that word seal, as we use it, comes from the use of that word in a different sense. And so, for instance, we use the word seal still in this way when we talk about on a certificate, there's an authority that has given its seal of approval to that document. So, for instance, in some nations, when someone is married, a government or the church will set its seal. And so this is a sign that says we authorize and we confirm that this marriage took place. Or some places have birth certificates. And on the birth certificate, there's a seal that's been applied that says this surely took place. Well, in ancient days, kings and queens and other great rulers would have a certain sign, perhaps on a ring, and they would have a document that was set before them. And if it was their document and they're telling what they're going to have all of their people hear, they would have it written out and then they would pour wax over it and they'd take their sign, their ring that had a special sign on it, and they'd press it on the wax before it cooled. And now the sign of their royalty is applied to that wax that showed everyone it bears the authority of the king. What did that do? It gave assurance to the people. This really is the king who has said these things. What's the point of all of this? A seal is showing the authority behind it. It's telling us, by whose authority is this done? Who verifies this is true? Who's saying that this is real? So think then of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They are showing us God is the one who is giving us these promises. It bears His seal. It bears His authority. And so what a blessing that the sacraments are, that God does not only promise us with His word, but then He gives us these signs and seals, the sacraments, which are meant to assure us that the promises are true and we are to believe Him as He indeed has promised. But then they also apply. That is, they take what is far from us and it places it upon us. It shares these blessings with us. Now, we'll note that these blessings are enjoyed by faith. So it's not just by the water applied in the name of the triune God. It's not just by the bread taken and eaten or the wine as we drink it that these things are done, but rather as the Spirit blesses and we eat and drink in faith, or as we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as He has promised Himself to us in our baptisms, you see, then it is that the riches of His salvation are applied to us. Well, there's a lot that we can say, but let's look at one example from an Old Testament sacrament. Notice how Paul speaks of this in Abraham's life. Abraham, of course, was a believer. He was a believer before the earthly ministry of the incarnate Savior Jesus Christ. So he was a believer in the Old Testament. He did not have baptism. He did not have the Lord's Supper. Those are sacraments of the New Testament. However, he did have circumcision and other Old Testament sacraments. And notice how Paul speaks of circumcision in Romans 4, verse 11. He writes, "And he," that's Abraham, "received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Now notice this very important passage. It's telling us that Abraham first believed and he was justified. So it was, as it says, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. This is important because it's reminding us that one may be a believer, one may be converted and saved without the sacraments. But this shouldn't make us say, well, the sacraments aren't important, because though Abraham was a believer, God then gave him circumcision, which was a sign, thus pointing to something else, namely the cleansing of filth from him. But it was also a seal, that which says as an assurance from God, this is real, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. And so we see that the sacrament of circumcision, as all sacraments, both Old and New Testament, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they're given as a help to us. They don't tell us something different than the Word of God. They confirm the Word of God. It's as if God is saying to us, yes, here's my promise. Yes, here's my assurance. And in order to strengthen your assurance, I give you this sign, this sacrament. What a blessing it is to us that God so cares to us to give us these helps to our faith. Well, we'll just note, as the Catechism indicates, that there are two sacraments under the New Testament, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are the two sacraments which Christ has immediately ordained as ordinances to represent, to seal, and to apply His grace to those who receive them by faith, by the blessing of Christ and the working of the Spirit. Well, now, second, the grace brought by the sacraments. How is it that God uses the sacraments to give blessings to His people? Well, first we can say how He does it, And second, we can say how he does not do it. We can note four truths about how he blesses by the sacraments. It will be quick because we have more to say in other lessons. One thing we should note is he does it by his grace. It's not by our works. Notice the question again. It's by the blessing of Christ and the working of the Spirit. It's not by our own worthiness. It's freely conferred to us by his grace, as any blessing we ever receive is a blessing to us by grace. All of salvation is ever given by grace, by the word of God, by the sacraments of God, by prayer. Well, two, he does it by the blessing of Christ. So it's by his grace as mediated through Jesus Christ, our great and high priest. And what a blessing that is to us, that as we seek the blessings, we're seeking them in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's intimately with us, providing us the riches of his salvation. Three, as the Catechism notes, he does it by the working of the Spirit. This is no different than the way the Word is made a blessing to us. We read the Word, we might understand the Word, but we aren't blessed savingly except the Spirit blesses us by the Word. Well, similarly, it's the same with baptism and the Lord's Supper. We may be baptized. We may come to the Lord's table, but it's the Spirit who must work powerfully to convey to us the riches of Christ, to minister faith in us that we would receive these things. And so if ever we're to enjoy the grace of salvation through this means, the Spirit must be graciously at work in us. For, as the Catechism notes, he does it in those who receive the blessings by faith. So it's not just by attending baptism or by being baptized, but one preeminent way the Spirit works is he forms faith in us that we then look to Christ and receive the promise. Just as when we hear the word preached, it's by faith that we receive those promises. So when we come to the Lord's table in due time by God's blessing, it is as by faith we eat and drink. Or as we've been baptized, it's as by faith we trust in God who cleanses us. So it's his grace given, giving us faith, by which then we receive these rich blessings. Now, second, we can clarify how he does not do it. One, he does not do it by some special strength or power in the sacrament itself. This is what the Catechism means when it says not by any virtue in them. It's not as if the sacraments are magical. It's not something that in itself it has something special. Bread, as we'll see, remains bread. But by the blessing of Christ and the grace of God, it becomes the means by which our faith feeds upon Jesus Christ. But the bread is still bread. It's bread, yes, set apart and ought to be used reverently, but it's not by the sacrament itself. It's by the blessing of Christ. Another way that this blessing does not come to us is by some special strength or power in the minister, the virtue of him who does administer them. So it's not as if we get a special blessing if the minister is a special man versus a more basic blessing if the minister is not as special. Rather, the sacrament comes to us as the word comes to us. It blesses us by his grace. So we may not have the best pastor, the most informed pastor, we may not have the most studied pastor, but if a faithful pastor comes and administers the Lord's Supper to us, we look not to the pastor, but rather to the King, Jesus Christ, and it's by him that we're able to receive blessing through Christ. So it is that we are ever brought to look to Jesus Christ. Oh, what rich things the sacraments are, that by these signs and seals, Christ is represented, he's sealed, and applied to those who by faith receive them. Well, one thing that stands out as we close is how caring Christ is for his people. It would have been most gracious for him simply to give us his word. However, he also gave us these signs that confirm his word to us. His word comes to us and says, I will cleanse you. I will forgive your sins. Trust in me, and I will cleanse you of all your iniquity. That's a great blessing. But the sacrament of baptism is given to us. And by the outward applying of water in the name of the triune God, we're given, as it were, this further confirmation. What a blessing that is. God doesn't just say, I've said it, that's it. He says it, and then he shows it to us. Now notice, both of them, the word preached, baptism administered in this case, are directing us to look to him in faith. This is how we're to approach the sacraments. We hear the Bible read, of course. We see baptism administered, or it's we're baptized. But it's not that we're looking to baptism itself or the Bible. We're listening ultimately to God and believing God. We're looking through, as it were, the sacrament unto God's promise. And it's to him we ask then, oh, as you've promised in your word and as you've given me this outward sign, please then, as you've promised, wash me from my sins. How sweet it is that God should so care for us. All of this then should lead us to a right use of the sacraments. Perhaps you've been baptized, and if that's the case, praise the Lord for that. But it should lead you to remember that baptism is an outward display of that covenant promise. And so then you should reflect on that and say, have I not only been baptized, but have I then trusted in God, who is both promised by his word and given this outward sign to me? Have I looked to him and said, cleanse me? He's promised to do it. And so promises call for faith. You can think of it this way. The word is a verbal, that is, it's a promise given in words. It's a verbal promise. It gives us promises. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, baptism is an outwardly displayed confirmation of that promise. It's God showing us his promise. Whether it's the verbal promise or the displayed promise, they're both calling us then to look to God and call upon him to do what he's promised. It's calling for faith. And so I encourage you to remember these things, the displayed promise of the sacraments, the written and spoken promise of God's word, and may they both lead you as means of grace to seek the grace of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, in the next couple of lessons, we get to look more carefully at baptism and then the Lord's Supper. And as we do, we'll see all of this opened up all the more. How rich of God to give us these precious signs and seals to confirm his promises and to direct us to trust in him.
Thank you for watching this lecture on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We trust you have learned much from the instruction given. Please join us in praying that these lectures will be a rich blessing for people throughout the world.